Business Hour with Oliver Feng on OFM.
Now, is your business neuro-inclusive? Well, we're joined by Dr. Sarah Babb. She's the adjunct faculty and professional associate at Gibbs, and she's sharing how harnessing neurodiverse strengths can drive innovation, resilience, and impact in your business. Now, she says about 50 to 20% of the world's population is classified as neurodivergent. That's one in five people. Here's my conversation with her. It's part one. Could you explain what neurodivergence is or means and how it shows up in everyday life?
If you think about it, our thumbprints are different, our irises are different in our eyes, and so are our brains. So every human has a different brain configuration, structure, neural pathways, which is so exciting. We all think and see the world differently. So there's a normal range of diversity of thinking. So that would be neurodiversity, how your brains are wired, how you think, how you process information, how you experience your sensory experience of the world, and how you make sense of that. Within that spectrum, there would be a cluster of what's become known as neurodivergence. What's interesting is neurodiversity actually is a social, anthropological, social movement term that was coined by a sociologist, because she was saying, J.D. Singer was saying, our language is too binary. So we don't use the word neurotypical now, because then you're comparing it to what? Who is neurotypical? We're all different. But within that range of neurodiversity, there's neurodivergence. Now, within neurodivergence, there's some clusters of behavioral traits or way of seeing the world that one might put labels to in terms of diagnosis. So this includes your dyslexia. It includes ADHD, attention deficit hyperactivity disorder. And within ADHD, there are actually three types. There's inattentive, hyperactive, there's combined. This also includes the autism spectrum. And within autism, there may be high functioning level one, which is, and down to level two and three, which may be maybe even nonverbal. This neurodivergence includes Tourette syndrome, dyscalculia, dyspraxia, and a range of different ways of seeing the world. But what's interesting about this is that every profile, and especially neurodivergence, comes with some strengths. So the spiky profile talks about some of the strengths of these, and it also talks about some of the things that are less easy. So ADHD, for example, you may be hyperactive or inattentive, so it might display differently, but at the end of it, the way of thinking is big picture thinking, joining dots, rapid decision making, get really energized by things that are novel, innovative, strategic thinking, big picture thinkers, and you might even think of entrepreneurs like Richard Branson, for example, very much ADHD profile, and great strengths that come with that. The difficulties might be more difficulty focusing, really would follow the novelty of the conversation. Autism, on the other hand, has great strengths of being able to really hyper-focus, absorb huge amounts of data, be quite persistent, concrete, honest, loyal, get really focused. If you think of somebody like Greta Thunberg and her passion around climate change, the challenges might be social awkwardness. So there really is no one-size-fits-all when you think of neurodivergence, but there are certain traits that you can look at. What's startling is that actually globally, 15 to 20% of our population is neurodivergent. So that means one in five of people that we know and rising would fall into one of these categories. So dyslexia is up to 15%, or ADHD up to 7%, autism 2% of our global population, which is quite interesting. And I was reading, which I'll come back to, that these numbers are rising. The CDC found, for example, amongst children with autism, 1 in 31 children are being diagnosed with autism. And the numbers are rising in terms of diagnosis, which is a very positive thing. So we're understanding more. So what's so fascinating is that we have all these strengths. We have a growing understanding of what neurodivergence is and a growing diagnosis. And what that means is that we have these amazing strengths of thinking that exist already in our organizations, but are perhaps even being misunderstood, misdiagnosed, because there's an overlap with other traits or even not diagnosed, which means that people that are neurodivergent aren't understanding why they're battling with some things like executive functioning, which is organizing, working memory, which is your short-term memory, for example. So you might have on your shopping list a whole lot of things. You go out, you forget the very thing that you went for. You know, simple, that sort of adage of the scatty professor, which can be so damaging for the individual and also for businesses that are missing out on these huge talents and strengths that the individuals bring. So for our country, there's definitely a lack of diagnosis because at the moment it's very expensive, and to get access to it can be hugely expensive that individuals take on. And not all schools accommodate that. Some are beginning to, but not all of them would have some accommodations. For example, if you're dyslexic, you might be able to verbally describe something, but would not be as good as writing it down in a test. So this disadvantages you through life, really, without that understanding. So we really need to be raising our diagnosis, raising our understanding, so that we can have some basic accommodations to really immerse the best of people in our businesses and in our organizations. And I'd love to talk a bit more about that.
The Business Hour on OFM.
Before the ad break, Dr. Sarah Babb, adjunct faculty and professional associate at Gibbs and the founder of STEM, told you about neurodiversity. She basically defined it for you and me. Now we look at it in the workplace. How can your business become neuro-inclusive? The better question, what's the benefit of being neuro-inclusive as a business? And what are some of the examples of well-known organizations that are doing it well? Why is neuro-inclusion so critical for businesses, especially in today's increasingly complex and fast-changing environments? And how can they harness neurodiverse strengths to drive innovation, resilience, and long-term impact?
Absolutely. We know the world is just changing at such a pace. You know, the tariffs, the geopolitical changes, the instability in many countries, the growing poverty, inequality, the social unrest, the challenges in our economy are battering us every day. And organizations that survive are able to innovate, are able to adapt, are able to bring their best thinking to challenges so that we can really be creating new ways. And we know how COVID, for example, we were able to reinvent our supply chains, the way that we worked, our connections, our online way of working and delivering to clients and products and services. We need that on an ongoing basis. And neurodiversity brings a built-in diversity of thinking. It brings a way of viewing the world, whether you're on the spectrum or ADHD, that is different, that is adding to being able to solve problems, critical thinking, being able to hyper-focus around particular challenges. And, you know, those companies that are recognizing this are seeing great benefits. So companies like Ernst & Young have implemented 23 neurodiversity centers of excellence around the world, and they are bringing these best brains to solve challenges. And they're reporting a $1 billion value creation from that. They're seeing a rise in productivity, innovation, timeliness of output. And over and above this, these are scarce skills. We're seeing a 92% retention rate. That's what they're reporting. And when we're in this world in a business that's fighting for the core talent, for scarce skills, we all want to be having ways that we have an engaged staff that we can retain core talent. JP Morgan Chase also reports 48% faster, 92% more productive. Other companies like SAP, IBM, Hewlett Packard, Deloitte, Microsoft, Wells Fargo, Dell are really seeing these benefits. And so it's growing across industries. And no surprise, actually, that there's a high correlation with some skills like IT. If you think of data scientists, cloud architects, cybersecurity analysts, AI, machine learning engineers, there's actually quite a correlation with the strengths, the spiky profile of neurodivergent talent, of analytical thinking, big picture thinking, vigilance, integrity, critical thinking, being able to actually own and solve problems. This is something for us that we can really exploit, is where are the natural strengths? Where is this diversity of thinking in our existing and our potential talent that we could really be capitalizing within our businesses? So there's so many opportunities for companies to be saying, how do we create a safe environment where people are not hiding their diagnosis, because disclosure is the big issue, where people are like, yes, I've been disclosed, or I self-identify as being on the spectrum or ADHD, but don't tell anybody for fear of being career limiting, for fear of being judged, for fear of being excluded, really prevents people from sharing. So businesses are missing out. They literally don't know, where are these strengths in our business and how can we work with it, provide basic accommodations to see a more engaged part of our business.
Jy luister na die OFM Sake Uur met Ole Bogeng.